Calvary. What a blessing it is to be back in the Lord's house. There's more people here tonight than there was on Sunday evening. I appreciate you being back tonight. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Hey, Brother Rex. Amen. Brother, it's good to have you back, Brother Rex. Amen. Somebody else got something on your heart. Don't let me get in the way if you've got something you need to share. Amen, Miss Jennifer. Amen.
I want to thank God for saving me.
Amen, Brother Chris.
And please pray for us and pray that we'll find us a house. You went to see about one house and that there was a contract in that house, so you have to look for another one. So Mickey and his wife's going to be staying with us and stuff like that.
Amen, Brother Chris. That may not seem like much to us, but it means everything to them. So whenever he asks for a prayer on that, let's pray for Brother Chris and Miss Katie. Come on in, Miss Kayla. Go ahead and make your speech while you're up. Turn with me to the book of Acts tonight, chapter number 2 to start with. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Clayton. Go ahead, Brother. Amen. You met your hunting buddy in April. I become your pastor in April. Just a couple of days away from our 11th year with you folks. What a blessing it's been. Brother Potts and others talk about what a blessing the pastor is. Listen, I'm the blessed one, Brother Potts. I promise you that. I'm the blessed one. I might try to be a blessing, but it always turns around being the other way. I promise you that. Tonight, we'll just get right into the Word of God. And don't forget Brother Kenny finishing up a revival up at Harmony tonight. Brother Chris is up at Yellow Hill tonight. And then young people, tomorrow night, van's leaving at 6:30. Let's go up there. Brother Steve, you going to join that youth choir tomorrow night? Amen. Amen, if they'll let me. I did the last time. But if we get a chance, let's go up and back up our young people. They'll be up there singing tomorrow evening. And then Friday night, as it's been said, the adult choir will be going to Solid Rock Baptist Church. Miss Kayla and some of them thought that I was preaching. I'm not preaching that revival. As Brother Jason Penley is the pastor there. Brother Alan Barker is doing the preaching this week. And they're in revival. And they've invited different choirs and different singers each night. And Brother Jason came here just a few weeks back or a few months back. And I don't remember what service we had that Brother Jason was here. But he left and he called me back. And he said, Pastor, he said, I've been in a lot of churches in my life. He said, but you've got the best choir of any church I've ever been in. He said, I've got to get them down to Solid Rock. So he said that they were having the revival and asked if we'd come on that Friday night. So I got with Scott and everything worked out. So we'll be down there trying to be a blessing to those folks Friday night. But anyway, go ahead and stand to your feet. We'll read just a couple verses of Scripture tonight with the Lord as our help. And then I'm going to bring you a message. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the title, What You Miss When You Miss. And that could be said, what they miss when they miss. But that would mean that I would be preaching to people that aren't here. What they miss when they miss. So I'll just say what you miss when you miss. And it's a lot in here tonight about missing. And you can miss one service. Where's Margaret at? Everybody say hi to Margaret. Hey, Margaret. Margaret has been gone for just a brief period of time. But in that brief period of time, she didn't realize that young Troy and Miss Carrie had accepted a pastorate at Harmony. Didn't know a lot of the things going on here. We were talking, just Margaret's like, where have I been? She just missed a couple services, and then so much had passed her by. And that's what happens. When you miss something. You really do. And you'll see that whenever I get into the message here just a little bit from now. But in the book of Acts in chapter number 2, I'm going to pick up the reading in maybe 38, maybe through 45 or 47, somewhere right through there. The Bible said, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as man, as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Brother Chris, ask God to bless us, my friend, in prayer. As you're being seated, let me just say a few things right off the bat that I miss when I miss. First and foremost, I miss the meal. I miss the meal. I miss the message. I miss what's going on. And the most important thing is the Word of God, and I miss that. But beyond that, I miss y'all. I really do. I miss y'all. When I'm not here, Brother Scott, I miss y'all. And it's, you would have to say that it's not the same. You know, I just had that little bit of surgery. Thank God for bringing us through that. It's been a little over 6 weeks ago now. But you would have to say that it's different when your pastor's not here. You say, well, we had plenty of pulpit supply and plenty of help, but it's different. When your pastor's not here, it's different. It was for me whenever I was on the pew and my pastor was gone. Boy, I miss my pastor, and I miss you. So it all works together. But I told our men's prayer room tonight, something happened while I met Miss Cindy for lunch, and after the lunch, I stopped to get some gas, and I was going back to work. Fate had it, if you will, that I met a lady. I didn't talk to her. I just met her because she was on the other side of the gas pump. I was on this side. The gas pump's about as thick as that communion table. You know, you got pumps on that side, pumps on this side. And I pulled up over here, and I'm starting to pump my gas. She got out and pumped on that side. And she got out of her car, and she was on the telephone. And I don't make it a habit of listening on other people's phone calls, except that they're talking probably louder than I am right now. And she was probably having to talk loud because of the traffic going by. And she's outside, and she's on a cell phone, and she's trying to be loud so they can hear. And I'm not listening, but I'm hearing. But then I leaned into the conversation whenever she said that, we're in revival this week. Naturally, I'm a preacher. Brother Tim, it excites me. Somebody is in revival. And she said, I was at least wanting to make a night or two. And this, I'm paraphrasing now. I'm not giving you a verbatim quote of her conversation. But she said, I was hoping to make a night or two. And then I'm listening, and I'm kind of leaning into the conversation now. And then she started throwing off on the ball games. Apparently, she's got a son or a daughter that's in some kind of a tournament now because they've been winning and they're still winning. And because they're winning, it's made them go into this week or maybe further into this week into their games. And I'm just listening. What got my attention was the fact that they're in revival and she wanted to go a night or two. I would to God that you'd go five or six. If you got a six-night revival, go six. But then she said something that just blew my mind. And Brother Tim, I'm already on this message. I mean, this is where God was moving my heart because it touched me when I come back. And I even made a reference to it Sunday morning. Whenever we come here Sunday night, Brother Chris said, you shouldn't have told him you were preaching. I told you before you left, I said, if the Lord doesn't change my heart, I'm going to bring you a message about the five testimonies found at Calvary. And Chris said, you shouldn't have told him you was preaching. They didn't come back. I said, well, who can I use? Tell them Joe Osteen will be here. Tell them somebody will be here. But that lady said something. Tamba just blew my mind. She said, I've been praying for rain. I'm like, okay. You said, preacher, why is she praying for rain? I didn't have to ask her because she said, if these games get rained out, we'll get to go to revival. Now that struck me as odd. But Brother Dean, you're asking the God of heaven that sends the rain to pour down rain upon a ball game that we might be able to go worship the one that sent the rain. Now that's to me plumb bizarre. It defies any logic. Why would you ask God? And if this goes out on the internet and she hears it, so be it. She shouldn't be asking God to send rain to cancel a ball game so that she can go to revival. She should be going to revival and say, I'm sorry, little Johnny. We're going to the house of God. How many times, Miss Cindy, did we miss? When our kids were little, I'm sorry, kids. It's just the way it is. Coach shouldn't have scheduled a ball game on Wednesday night. Coach shouldn't have did it. Yeah, it makes the kids upset. And I'm honest with you, though, they get over it pretty quick. They really do. But Brother Derek, what do you miss when you miss revival? What do you do when you miss one service? Brother Ryan, what do you miss when you miss something as great as as what we have here at Calvary? Let's look into the scriptures really quickly, and you'll know what we're talking about very quickly into the message tonight, and we will have a short conference, and I tell you, it's all going to go together fine. We won't be up here forever tonight, but in this passage of scripture in chapter number 2 and verses number 38 down through 41 where I was just at, you're going to miss the early successes of that church, because Brother Derek, I'm just a pastor, but you add 3,000 people to the church in one day, that's something to glean. That's something to be a benefit. I'm seeing you're part of something much greater than yourself. If a preacher preached one message and saw a half a dozen souls saved, Conrad's it's an exciting service. But Brother Scott, to have 3,000 souls, as it said in the latter part of verse number 41, that the added daily such as about should be saved, about 3,000 souls, you miss the successes that are accompanied with the church that you belong to. I mean, if there are successes, regular baptisms, regular soul conversions and salvation, if you're here, bless God, you get to participate in that. And there's nothing like seeing a baby born. I'm telling you what, you said, well, you talking about Macy being born or Mara being born? I was there for both of them, and I really thoroughly enjoyed that. I didn't realize something that long could come up where it did. I just didn't understand that, Brother Tam. That's a miracle of God. Anybody says not a miracle had never witnessed that. But I'm talking about the new birth of a Christian. Brother Tam, somebody gets birthed right through the very womb of grace, and God just takes that old sinner and cleans him up and makes him a new fit and subject for help. You get to be a part of that. That is a success story. That a drunk has now changed fountains. That somebody that one time cared nothing about grace has just experienced it to the full. Somebody that may have even asked themselves to be judged. You go ahead and judge me if you want to. And they call us hypocritical, judgmental, bigoted people. And they say, you go ahead and judge me. But bless God, then whenever the judge of all judges judges them, and they find themselves guilty, and then they throw themselves on the mercy of God Almighty, and He extends to them even tender mercies. But there, we get to be a participant on that and watch the beautiful thing called grace and salvation just transform a person right before our eyes. That's a beautiful thing when that happens. As we keep looking down through that, and I'm just giving you an introduction. We're going to lay in here in just a minute. But in verse number 42, the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship of the breaking of bread. You don't just get to see the salvation experience, but bless God, I get to watch y'all in your steadfastness. The Bible said they continued steadfastly. I get to see your daily walk with God. And man, it's amazing how God saves somebody at a tender age of just a kid. And then later on in life, they're still hanging in there, still preaching, still singing. And still teaching, still doing. But Tim, that has to be an act of God. It has to be. I don't even know your dad's story. I'd love to hear. How old was he when he got saved? A young man, middle-aged? 18, 19 years old, and this many years later, still standing by the stuff. That has to be God. It has to be, Brother Derek.
That's Saturday night in August, 1954.
Yeah. What?
Fourth Saturday night in August, 1954.
Were you there?
No, but I've heard him say it many times.
That's about like Scott Wagner on the October the 31st, 1981. Or whatever Scott was. I always tell you Scott, look at his mama back to know it was. He said, what are you getting at, preacher? There's something to be said for steadfastness. And the Bible said they continued steadfastly in the word and in doctrine and grace and mercy. They walked in that steadfastness. And bless God, if you miss that, you don't know who's steadfast and who's not. Why? Because you're not. You're wishy-washy. And you don't know who's standing in the gap and who's not. Who's laying out, who's up, who's down. But then in the very next verse in 43, the Bible said, and fear came upon them and with many wonders and signs. Bless God, we get to watch with many wonders and many signs. I'm telling you why, there's some signs around here. There's some old landmarks. There's some ancient stories being told, being played out. And you said, not so, preacher. Bless God, we went to revival last night right up the street here at Harmony. And you said, well, who was brought up there? I didn't never meet her, but bless God, the steadfastness of one Minnie Blackburn come out in Harmony Baptist Church at revival. I don't know her, but Brother Kenny was a preaching and he started talking about this old saint of God named Minnie Blackburn. Anybody here know Minnie Blackburn? What was she known for? He said she was known for a squalling, a shouting, and just going, whoa! And he started doing what she was doing. Brother Derek, that's a sign and a wonder. Because you say, why is that a wonder? It's a wonder and a sign because something as big as God comes in, he starts popping up in places you never have expected him. Amen. Little Dillard lady, I don't even remember her given name, but I know she was a Dillard. She used to scream, curl the hair on the back of your neck. I mean, just out. There wasn't no trigger. You didn't know what was going to bring it out on her. But she said about one pew behind us one night, that's probably why I had to have the cardiac catheter ablation. Because she had totally threw my heart out of rhythm when she cut loose one of them blood curdling and screamed. You remember that, Miss Cindy? I mean, just it was shrill, but it was God. You said, that's just all put on. You don't put that on. That's God. It just comes out. But the Bible said there in that 43rd verse that there was many signs and wonders. 44 and 45 said they sold the possessions. They got started getting together. The breaking of bread from house to house. What are they doing there? They're sharing each other's fellowship. How many times have we broke bread together around here in the last 11 years? I'm telling you what, I don't want to miss it. When a Martha Church calls you and says, Pastor, would you and your dear wife like to have supper with Jerry and myself? Martha says, don't bring us up. Martha, I enjoy it. I'm all for it. The only thing is, I say we don't do it often enough. And others, we've ate together. We broke bread together. Not only down at the Life Center, but in open places, you know. And brother, I enjoy that. What happens when you start missing? You miss the fellowship. You miss that camaraderie, one with another. And folks, I need y'all. And believe it or not, you need me. Not so much as Mark, but you need a pastor. You need somebody. Verses 46 and 47. I'm not even to the beginning of the message yet. Don't freak out, though. Verse number 46 and 47. Verse number 47, it starts out, they were praising God, having favor with all the people. And then again it said, the Lord added to the church daily, such as be saved. What else? Brother Derek, you missed the shouting, the praising of God. You could miss the Minnie Blackburn. I'm sure Miss Minnie didn't shout on every service, did she? But just imagine if you was out the ones that every time everybody said, Miss Minnie was a shouter. I never heard her. You know why? Because you weren't here when she was shouting. Because you were missing the shout. You could be missing the salvation experience. I wasn't here when that James Molico got saved. I wasn't here when that one got saved. Well, bless God, start coming to church. Maybe you won't start missing some of this stuff that I'm preaching about. So let's get right on into the message tonight. But every service is unique. I'm serious. Every service is unique. Sunday morning, I felt like I delivered the message that God wanted to. He's preaching about the measure of your treasure. I went out of here wanting people to check their heart. And no comments. Not even a comment. You say, I give you a comment. I wasn't looking for comments. But I went out of here Sunday night, Brother Derek, just felt like an utter failure. I preached a message out of the book of Matthew, chapter 27, about the cross, the five testimonies of Calvary. And then I started calls and texts and texting. Man, that was some meat on the bone, blah, 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 you know, over and over and over. And I'm like, did I miss something? I don't preach for the applause of men. But Brother Derek, Brother Scott, sometimes what I think and what God thinks is two different things. And how you receive it's differently than how she'll receive it. But every service is unique in its own right. Every service is unique in its own way. If Ryan is saved, but Chris is not. And I'm not saying you're not. But he's going to receive that message differently. He might receive it as a chastening rod of correction to bring him back safely into the fold. Where if he's lost, he might receive it as just utter and downright conviction of soul to bring him to salvation experience. But then Brother Steve's over here and he just lost a family member. And because he's lost a family member, he doesn't feel that message as conviction. He doesn't feel it as chastisement, but yet he rather feels it as comfort. And that's the way that it is for every one of us. There's something for every single one of us, and every service is uniquely different. And if you miss one, you miss whatever it was for you on that particular event night. So tonight, just listen to the message about what you miss when you miss. Flip with me just real quickly, and I'll go about two or three little places here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, just for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. If you miss a message, you miss a meal. I told you that. You miss a meal. Now, most of us in secular thinking could miss a meal or two. We could miss probably three or four. If the truth be told. But I'm not talking about physical food. I'm talking about spiritual food. The Bible said that in the gathering of the manna, they gleaned, they picked up every day, Brother Scott, that according to his need. Is that not what it said? Every man gathered according to his need. On the sixth day, they got enough for the Sabbath as well, so they wouldn't have to work upon the Sabbath day. But every man gathered according to his need. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the people just don't need anything. They must not need much because they don't come much. You say you're preaching that message to people that are not here. If you're here and you're one that has a problem with coming to church and missing services, then I wonder, do you not need more manna? Does he not talk about that he gives more grace? Is there not a term in there, Brother Derek? I know you're shaking your head. Does he not give more grace? That is a term that's used in your King James Bible. More grace. You said, I thought everybody just got one measure of grace. No, bless God. He gives more grace when more grace is needed. Bless God, you can have more manna when more manna is needed because each man gathers according to his need. But if you miss, Brother Kim, you miss something for that day that you absolutely need. You miss a meal. And here we are in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We'll take it from verses number 14 down to about verse number 17. If my recollection is right and remembrance of my study, he talks about something here, and it's right in here in the scripture that can honestly straighten you out. You come to God's house, there will be something in the message that will straighten you out, that'll stand you upright, Brother Tam. It'll make you pause and think about maybe the wayward walk that you're walking, or maybe the loose tongue that you're flapping. It might cause you to dress a little bit more modest than you have been. It might cause you to turn the radio station. It might cause you to not go there, or not go there, or not do this, or do that, or listen to this or listen to that. It might change a whole lot of things. And here we are, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses number 14, now through number 17. It says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ Jesus. He says, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction and instruction in righteousness. Not only will it straighten you out, but bless God, it'll strengthen you when you are weak. And it says, lift up your hands and lift up your feeble hands and your feeble knees and raise up yourself. How do you do that, Brother? There, you get into this blessed meat of God and it'll strengthen you. Yeah, it'll straighten you out. Yeah, it'll do a lot of things to you. But brother, is there not anybody here that doesn't need a little strengthening once in a while? I surely do. It says here that it'll lead you to salvation. It'll straighten you out. It'll do a lot of things. It'll satisfy your hunger. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Brother Ryan, it'll satisfy your thirst when you're thirsty. It'll satisfy your hunger when you're hungry. Like I said, and if you miss a meal, Brother D, what do you miss when you miss? You miss a meal. You miss an opportunity to come and dine, as I put in the pastor's pen on this past Sunday. You could just miss the opportunity to see your soul saved. You could miss an opportunity to see your child saved. Miss Cindy, how would that have been at DeHart Baptist Church so many years ago if you just didn't come that night? But yet that young at DeHart Baptist Church come and got saved. How would that have been for a mama to not see that? You'd have missed that. What a time. You said, you mean that she would have missed the birth of her own child? That's possible. She could have missed that. So you can miss a meal. You can miss that would utterly just soothe your heart. How many times have you had a loss or felt a hurt or a deep sorrow and bereavement is just all over you? And then you come here and somehow it just seems mollified. It just seems better by being here. Well, what is it? It's that handshake and that deep look, not just at him, but in him. I've seen some of y'all, Brother Tam, when you look, you're not just looking at me, you're looking in me. I saw that in you, Brother Potts, just a few minutes ago when I come over and shook your hand. Honey, I didn't just see the tears on your cheeks, I saw the tear in your heart. And whenever somebody comes up to you and hugs you and they lay into you and they really truly mean it, I'm telling you what, there's something calming, something soothing about that. And if you miss that, do you get that at where you get that at Tyson, don't you, Brother Greg? Oh, you don't get that at Tyson? Sharon, you probably get it through the department you work for. You get it down there at the warehouse, don't you? You probably get it from the brass overhead. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't get that. Miss Jamie, do you get that from the principal? Come on, you're a teacher, surely. All the kids give it to you. Oh, little angels that they are. Yeah, and Jessica, I got a teacher behind you. Got two teachers right there within 3 foot of each other. Y'all get that from the kids, don't you? Because they're all angels. No, some of them are spawns of Satan. Yeah. Because they were raised by the devils. Back in the day, Earl York would raise you off the ground. Anybody here know Earl York? Mr. Gale Anthony? Oh, yes, a hand going up. He'd lift you off the floor with a board about that wide, had holes drilled in it. Brother Tam, he would pick you up off the floor. And the sound of that thing whacking still rings in my ears. All these years later. But you do that now and half the family will go jump on the teacher. Get her fired. Get him fired. Get him out of there. Ryan remembers Earl York. Yeah, you met him, didn't you? You met the Board of Education. Yes, sir. So what do you miss when you miss? You miss a meal. You miss an opportunity to dine with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Preacher, what else do you miss? Well, flip over to, you don't have to go there. I was just there, but I want to go back and think about this just a second. The Bible said they continued with steadfastness. And they went from house to house. Back in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, probably about verse number 37 down through 47, talked about, Brother Derek, they were getting together. They sold their stuff. They put all the money into a common till, and then they give out of that till each man according to his need. Brother Scott, you might not have had anything, but bless God, here they were. They were helping each other, looking out after each other. Why? Because they loved each other. Where's the love? So if you miss a meeting, Psalm 133, verses number 1 through 3 says, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. You miss a meeting, and you miss that fellowship. Don't just miss that meal, but you miss the members. You miss all the finery and all the things going on around that. Brother, do you like to come to Calvary? Most time you're pushing burgers, aren't you? Yeah, I asked you a while ago. You know what I asked this man? I said, you got one of them chili jumbo dogs? He said, not with me. I would tell him what you said whenever one night I pointed to the stars and I asked you, never mind. I asked him, I said, is that Saturn? And, Macy knows. Matt. Was it Matt? You remember that, don't you? It's forever etched in your mind. Get with us. We'll tell you after the service. Can't tell you in here. But I miss that. I miss you. I miss Papa Rex. I miss that. Whenever you can't be here, I miss that, Brother Tam. Now, if the Bible says that you continue steadfastly, Brother Scott, I miss that. I miss the fellowship. You know what y'all had to do the couple of 3 weeks? I think it was 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks. I couldn't be here. Miss Karen, you know what people were doing? Because they missed me, they were bringing me food. Yes. Huh? Go back out. What? I'm not sure I can get more Baja tacos delivered. Honey, they figured me out. They have figured me out. Some of them still feed me. Some of them still do it. But Tim, I missed that. I missed y'all, but because y'all missed me, you were bringing food to the house. I'm talking about steak and shrimp. Brother, I'm talking about pizza and Krispy Kreme donuts by the dozen. And I'm talking about barbecue and slaw and baked beans. And I'm talking, Brother Derek, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, I missed y'all and y'all missed me. And because of that, somebody was looking out after my need. And bless God, where would I be without a fellowship? Where would we be, Brother Tim, without a church? I'd have been over there and I'd have been eating Cindy's cooking. Not there's anything wrong with her cooking, but I'm telling you, she was a partaker in the steak and the shrimp. She was a partaker in the donuts. She was a partaker in that God provided through y'all. And Miss Karen, if we weren't a member of this church and weren't involved in this church and we weren't steadfastly in agreement with y'all in the ways that go with God and with Christ, Brother Scott, we'd have missed that. You say, how would you have missed it? Do y'all take random people out here in the community food because you've heard that somebody had surgery? I know some of you here work at the hospital. Some of you in here, Miss Kayla's sick tonight. She's always pushing pills. Brother, when you find out somebody over sick, the hospital, Chad, you and Miss Kayla get off work, run down and pick up a bucket of chicken, take it to them. No. But you would do it for your pastor. You would do it. Why? Because Miss Wanda, we love each other. And because of that love, that fellowship, that's what happens when you miss. You miss a whole lot. We praise the Lord together. We pray together. As Brother Potts has shown us even this evening, we cry together. Well, there's a lot of things that we do together. We place our burdens on one another's shoulders down here at this place. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter number 6, I believe it to be about verse number 2, the Bible says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How can we do that if we're missing? Brother Derek, look that verse up for me. Chapter 6, verse number 2 of the book of Galatians. I think that it is. I don't want to misquote something. But brother, how am I going to give you my burdens if I never see you? I never talk to you. I'm not around you. But I need you because why? This thing's bigger than I. I can't carry this burden alone. So what do? Brother Derek, I come down here and I heave that burden off of my shoulder onto you. And the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brother Grant, it's your grand opportunity to help out Brother Derek. When Derek can't bear that anymore, he can come down here and you can come down here. And because of that, you can help him bear his load. That's a blessing. And if you're missing out, you're missing opportunity, one, to give somebody a share of your burdens, or, Brother Archie, to take a share of theirs because it's bigger than they are or it's bigger than you are. And, Tam, if you're not here, just crumble under it, I guess, yourself. Just crumble under the weight of it because you didn't come to give it to anybody, or maybe they didn't come for you to share it with. Listen to me. You don't tell everybody your problems. I don't. I've got just a scat handful of people that I really can tell my heart to. It's a close circle. You said you shouldn't have that. You should tell everybody all of your problems. Then you're saying that Christ was wrong. You said he chose 12. He went a little further, didn't he? And when he went a little further, what did the Bible say that he did? He said when he went a little further, he took with him Peter and James and John. You don't read that he took Bartholomew. You don't read that he took Nathaniel. You don't read that he took others, Brother Scott. He took those two sons of Zebedee and he took Peter and went a little further. If one of your Peter, John, or James is not here, Brother Tam, if one of your inner circle, one of those that you really, I know you've got some that you really can go to. And Miss Ginger, I promise you, you can tell them anything and they'll never tell it outside of their, you know that. What happens if that person's not there? You just hold it in this time. Maybe I'll see them next week. Man, I need some prayer on this, but they weren't here. Maybe they'll be here next week, but they're not here next week. You need help. I need help, and we can share that with each other. Brother Scott, not only do you miss a meal, but bless God, you miss your members. You miss the fellowship. But I'm going to sit right here for just a few minutes on this one, then we're going to have our conference to go home. We're doing okay? Everybody all right? Flip with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Now, some of you are going to say, well, I don't have one of those, this last point that I'm about to give you. To that, I would say, yes, you do. You might not be stepped into it right now. You might not be doing it. But my friends, if you miss, you miss. Brother Steve, if you miss, you miss. If you miss out, you know what takes place every June, July, August around here? We have something that we call a nominating committee. It's two of the deacons and their wives. It's myself and my wife and two of y'all and your wives. And we all get together, Brother Tim. Each year we do this. We've done it for 11 years now. And what we do is we get together and we talk and we pray. And then we talk and we pray. We get a sheet laid in front of us. It's got 44 plus or minus offices of the church. And brother, we start looking at that sheet. And sometimes it's through acclamation. That person has served well. They love the Lord. They're faithful. They're devoted. And they're here. And they don't miss. And we put them in places because they've always served well in that place. But then there's always those, Brother Tam, whose name keeps coming up. And you know what? Their name comes up. And you know what? One of the first things we have to say, well, boy, they miss a lot. They're not faithful. And you know what that does, Brother Derek? He causes them to miss their ministry. You say, well, what is my ministry? It's different. I'm in the book of Ephesians just for a minute, chapter number 4. And I just want to bring a message out of the rest of the message out of this. In verse number 11, it says these words. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What did he give them those gifts? What did he give them those ministries for? He answers the question in the next verse. In verse number 12, he said it's for the perfecting of the saints. He says it's for the work of the ministry. He says it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for you and for me. And it's that the ministry of God might go forth, Brother Charles, and that it might be accomplished, that every one of us might perform our ministry that God hath given us and do it with the utmost of heart and with devotion and just solitary just duty to God, and do it because you love God and because of what he did for you. But if you're not here, Brother Scott, you might just miss your ministry. Look what it says. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto measure the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more as children, tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. My friends, if you miss, you might just miss a ministry that God hath got prepared for you. You might be a part of a ladies' ministry. My wife occasionally will be called to be a guest speaker or a keynote speaker at a ladies' ministry meeting, at a fellowship meeting of other ladies. And bless God, that is a great joy if another pastor recognizes the 30 plus years of marriage that we've been married, or recognizes her as being a pastor's wife, and she's always by her pastor's side. Do you think she's going to get called to be a ministry to any other lady if she's not even faithful to her own household, to her own husband, or to her own church? The answer to that is an emphatic no. She's not going to be called. But you can be a part of the ladies' ministry. You can be a part of the joy group or the senior ministry. You can be a part of the youth ministry and the youth group around here. You can be a part of the van ministry or the visitation effort. You can can be a part of a teaching ministry, helping to teach the kids. You can be a part of that Bible journaling ministry. You said they're just in there coloring in the page of the Bible. Bless God, there is a devoted ministry in that. And those girls and those that do that, they spend countless hours studying their Bibles to put together a ministry that is a blessing to others. And it's I'm just saying, if you miss out, Brother Scott, you might just miss your ministry. I'm saying that to the song minister, to the man that brings us new songs and works with us on old songs and helps us, Brother Scott. You need to take it seriously. You said he's a song minister? You have a ministry and a gift of song. You're a deacon here. Would you have ever been sought out and looked out? I looked you out, seven men full of the Holy Ghost, of a good report without, within. You think they would have sought you or looked you out if you weren't here? No, the church would have seen that. He's been missing. He's never here. We know your sacrifice, how that you leave Greensboro and fight traffic, tooth and nail, and road construction and car accident just to walk in right at the service time. You're not the only one. Others of you work great distances. My brother and his dear wife have been so faithful, and I thank you for that. They work in Statesville and all the way down at Lake Norman. And Brother Tim, they live in Trap Hill, and they go from Lake Norman to Trap Hill, from Trap Hill to Wilkesboro, and still get here. Brother Knight, God will bless you for that. There's the Ford family. They live all the way down in Hunting Creek. But here they're here. They're here. Why? Because they want to be. Why are they here? Because they want to be. Why is he here? Because he wants to be. You know, we pretty much do what we want to. The trouble is, a lot of people, Brother Dean, just don't want to. Do you see what you miss when you miss? I'm talking about all kinds of ministries. All kinds of, you said, what's the importance of all of those? Go back and read that verse that I just read. The last verse I read was verse number 16. Because the whole body, go back to 4 and 4 and read 4 and 4. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But there is but one body. Verse number 16 says, that whole body is fitly framed together, joined together, compacted by which every joint supplieth. You said, well, you mean every joint supplieth? Every ministry feeds off of the other ministry, and every one of us strengthens every one of us. That's the way this thing works. And when you miss, you miss. You say, I wish you'd preach that on Sunday morning. God didn't give it to me Sunday morning. Give it to me tonight. So, preacher, how are you going to conclude that? I'm going back to the gas pump. I'm going back to the gas pump. You can sit around and pray for rain, that your fishing trip might be called off just so you can go to church. You can sit around and pray for rain, that your event might be called off, that you'll get to be freed up to go back up the youth or to back up the choir on Friday. You can pray. But Brother Derek, that prayer, you see that little bubble ceiling up there? It's about how far that prayer's getting. Until your heart says, I'm going to back up my church. I'm going to back up my Lord. I'm going to go back up my Savior. I'm going to go back up my ministry, whatever that ministry might be. And if that ministry's not going on, I'll go do whatever. But to ask God to rain on your parade just so you can go worship him, Tam, that's a fruitless, worthless prayer. You're asking the God that sends the rain to send rain that you can go then worship him. Your priorities are out of whack. If that's what you're... Do you see what you miss when you miss? Margaret, do you miss anything when you miss? You better believe you do. We all do. It's not just Margaret. I'm not just calling her out. She just happened to be sitting back in the prayer room whenever I went back with a prayer request, and it was like I hadn't seen her in a while. She's got a little more gray, and she just... She got a few more wrinkles, and it, I don't know, just... It just all... Like I said, it was just all fitly framed together, and... Don't you roll your eyes at me. Had a little carryover there from about a year ago. Don't you roll your eyes at me, young. What do you miss when you miss? Do you miss the others? Boy, I do. Can you not just lay down at night, Brother Kippy, and hear that little junior choir saying, I must be special, for he paid a special price for me. But Tim, I miss that. When I was laid over there at the house, I think it was only two Sundays we didn't come. I don't know. My mind's not all here anyway, most of the time. I need a witness. But I miss that. It's not just the kids. I miss the prayer room. You say, I don't even go to that. Well, you're missing. Brother Steve, you see what you miss when you miss? Did y'all know that Steve and Macy sang a duet Sunday night? If you didn't, guess what? You missed. I didn't say it was good. I said, they missed it. Boy, you missed that. Brother Scott, get us a song.